to Living Springtime from Amazing Love Assembly, Enugu, with Bishop Amechi Nwachukwu ministering.
Epaphroditus means lovely, good luck, lovely. Maybe golden is something that was there. He was one of the bishops of the church. He had brought the contributions to Paul, chapter 4, verse 18, like Timothy, consider serving Paul and know it. And knew it was like service to the Lord. He, as a minister, took their offering to God, and God was blessing him. In Romans chapter 13 and this, you read, he was sick unto death as a minister to them. The journey was long and hazardous, but he undertook it so that he can be able to minister to the Lord. Let us look at them, at his testimony. My brother, the genitive of possession, share common heritage, same family, twins, same lineage. The word they used was the Greek word in the genitive sense of it, my brother. You know, Adelphos moi, brother moo, that is my brother. Not just somebody else, but somebody who is my brother, my fellow worker, yoke fellow. We put our neck to the job, like Nehemiah, and we ask you to compare what Paul said about other people, that they were dogs, that their God is their belly, that they were masquerading in the house of God, that they were not real, but this one, he could say, was a fellow worker. And there were all others were also ministers. My fellow soldier, just what does it mean to be a soldier of Christ? You are not a soldier by wearing uniform, but by the fight you engage in. 2 Timothy and Judges and other things which we told you all about. You know, and 1 Corinthians 7 involves defense, equipment, if you are a true soldier. And we went through all that. Your bishop, apostle, ministering to me, minister as unto the Lord. There's just one question I want to raise from the study. He was a caring person, though sick, but not worried that you may, but now worried that you may be more worried to hear he was sick. So he's anxious to come to you to allay your fears. If you don't understand what that is, Epaphroditus was sent by the people to go and minister to Paul. On Monday, I think it was Monday, when I sent some people to the chief of Amagunze, who had been a listener in the program and had come here many times to see us, but I couldn't meet him. So I sent across an invitation to him, inviting him for some program and some other chiefs within the area to also invite them for some of the programs I have ahead. And the brother who went stayed much longer than I anticipated. 8 o'clock, Victor had not come back. Uche had not come back. After 8, they hadn't come back. I said, surely I can understand what Epaphroditus and the rest of them will be feeling. My concern was not the journey they went, but that if anything happened, I was the one that sent them. And I knew that they would be like Epaphroditus. They would be so worried that I'm worried. And when he came back, he said, we've been trying to phone you all manner of calls. Call here, call this person, just to let you know that I'm all right. You know, sometimes you send somebody on a journey, you send somebody on something, and you hear there's a problem. You are so worried because everything will be upon you. The person on the other hand, if he's responsible, is so worried to let you know that all is well. That's how you get the caring disposition. That this man was such a caring person. He had thought for the people. He was selfless in service even unto death. And there's just one question I have which I'm asking today. He was a friend that stuck closer than a brother. A friend that stuck closer than a brother. You can change that in your listing. A friend that stuck closer than a brother. A friend in need is a friend indeed. When most men were keeping their distance, Epaphroditus was identifying with his life. You know, it was this guy who sang, he sang this song, When the Going Is Tough. I think it's, what's his name? Onyabo. That when the going is good, you have so many friends. But when the going is bad, You know? They just go away. You don't truly know your friend when all is well. You are now a person. Let me tell any of you here. If you become the commissioner for Oguaja tomorrow, in any department, and it has a portfolio, and a car attached to it, and an office, and somebody following in your car, some people that you didn't know that were your uncles and aunties, they will surface. It doesn't matter whether you know them. They will tell you how your grandmother was actually originally married to their grandfather. Are you there? That actually you were cousins. But that what happened was that their father changed their name during the war. But actually they came from your village. That you should check it out. A friend in need. It is when you are in crisis, when you have trials. And that's why when somebody is willing to identify with you, even when the going is not good, you should not remove the ancient landmarks. That's what he's talking about. When most of them had fled, if you care, go and read what Paul said in Timothy. That at his best defense, nobody stood by him. Everybody ran away because had a police record. Hey, Paul. No. They say the other thing about him. They say the other thing. How can everybody be saying everything about Paul? There must be truth to it. There's no truth to it. You can have smoke without fire. Go and read that book. When the cup is found in your possession. If you are marked by God, the enemy must also mark you. And you must have to be prepared for that kind of thing. So you find out that there was this crisis. And this man, when others were running away, was there and even sick unto death. That is really what I wanted us to look at in the Bible study today, if I had my way. To ask, how can we be like this man? That is the question. That it was William Paine who said centuries ago, as he described the characteristic of a true friend, and this is what William Paine had said. A true friend unbosoms freely, advises justly, assists readily, takes all patiently, defends courageously, and continues a friend unchangeably without change. I am asking a question. Two questions I have for today. So Epaphroditus, a brother in love, a partner at work, a comrade in fight, was a tender friend of the apostle and a good ambassador of the church he was representing. What kind of testimony do you have? I am asking a question now. And my question is not in this place. It's here in my notes. Epaphroditus was living out his normal Christian life and now made it into the Bible. When Epaphroditus was going to see Paul, was he doing it so that when they write the next Living Spring Journal, they will put down his name? Was that the reason? When he was doing it, was it so that during the time that they will give the next lesson, they will remember him and say, this is what he did? No. He was living normal life. I'm sure if you met him now in heaven, you know they put your name in the Bible. But see, as you have seen it, so I'm seeing it. It was not something he planned. Many of us live our life on false pretense. Most of us live our life on what people see. And if you try it, challenge them in areas that they are not comfortable with, you see the fight they will give you. Very raw on dead people. My question which I'm asking is, how can we be like him? Question one. How can we be? Thank you very much. How can we be like this man? Epaphroditus. A brother in love. A partner at work. A comrade in fight, was a tender friend of the apostle, a good ambassador of the church he was representing. How can these characteristics be our own? And question number two, what lessons have you learned from our study of not just this man, but even in our study of Philippians so far? These are the two questions I'm asking. How can we be described as a brother or a sister in love? That is, somebody will look at you. Some of you have texted me, telling me to tell you exactly what I feel. Let me tell you why I didn't text back. You didn't send me credit to be texting you back. So I didn't bother responding to you by text. But if you phoned me and I know you are serious, I'll talk on your credit and tell you. Hallelujah. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It takes them ngwa kedi. So if you are serious, you will phone me and I'll talk on your credit. Otherwise, some of you have also stopped me and asked me. Some of you have even visited. Some of you have written. And I've spoken to you. What kind of testimony do I have? It's left to you. I am asking, this was a brother in love, a partner at work, a comrade in the fight, was a tender friend of the apostle, even when he was in prison, even when he was facing martyrdom, even when everybody had rejected him, and a good ambassador of the church he was representing. What kind of testimony do you have? How can we be having this kind of thing? What are some of the things we can do to have that? And what are the testimonies or things you have learned from the study so far in Philippians and in this in particular? We are doing the study together today. Yes, Asobi, you can use the microphone there to help us.
One of the ways I think we can approximate to what we've seen in the life of Epaphroditus. For me, I was reflecting on it and I felt if I can be able to see Jesus in anything I'm doing and not people, or will I say the church as a nameless institution. But if I, like the Bible says, whatever I'm doing to the glory of God. I know I'm serving Christ. I think if I'm able to really believe that and put it into practice, I'll be able to spend myself like he did. And walking even when, that was the part that ministered to me also, answering the second one.
Okay, yes.
To be able to walk when you are sick, I've always felt, with all due regard, that I was left for only people who are like you. And that some of us who are more human, when you are sick, you're able to rest. But seeing it in the life of this man here, I think maybe if I can see that I'm serving Christ and not people or church, as it were, but the person of Jesus, I'll be able to spend myself like they did. Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much on that contribution. If I can just know that as I'm standing here, like I told you, I came to teach and I have my materials, I'm ready for the teaching. And the owner of the church said, before you teach, this is what I want you to do. That is intrusion into my program. But what is my program? Who am I? What if he even put a big boil on my mouth that I can't talk today? Does it mean there will be no Bible study? No. So if I can know that it is unto God, God is the one I'm doing this thing for. Not these people. Not whether they like you or they don't like you. Not whether they do this or do that. God, I'm standing before you. That it will help all of us. Whatever you are doing, see Christ. And secondly, to be able in seeing Christ, what he has learned is to learn how to spend himself even when you are not feeling okay. You don't serve God out of convenience. Anybody that tells you serve God when it's convenient is deceiving you. There's no need talking today as though it's not true. No. It's not true, may mean there's something right. No, it's deceiving you. We serve Christ out of utmost inconvenience, financially, politically, economically, socially, and all wise. At extreme inconvenience, you serve the Lord. And when you are serving very conveniently, check out, something must be wrong somewhere. Any other contribution? I'm asking, how can we begin? We have heard one. By seeking to know that, you see, this thing I'm doing is Christ. I'm not coming here to sing so that people will think I'm okay. I'm not standing as Chinedu is standing over here, or our brother is standing at the back there, Ayo, for ushering. No, or Tony. I'm standing because of Christ. You see, this thing I'm doing is Christ. And that will make a difference. Any other thing on how, what can help us to be a brother in love? Boy, that guy had credentials. A brother. A sister. A partner at work. A comrade in the fight. Whatever fight, he was there. A tender friend of the apostle and a good ambassador of the church he was representing. I'm asking how. Any other contribution? I'm asking, how can we begin? We have heard one, by seeking to know that, you see, this thing I'm doing is Christ. I'm not coming here to sing so that people will think I'm okay. I'm not standing as Chinedu is standing over here, or our brother is standing at the back there, Ayo, for ushering. No. Or Tony. I'm standing because of Christ. You see, this thing I'm doing is Christ. And that will make a difference. Any other thing on how, what can help us to be a brother in love? Boy, that guy had credentials. A brother. A sister. A partner at work. A comrade in the fight. Whatever fight, he was there. A tender friend of the apostle and a good ambassador of the church he was representing. I'm asking how. We've had one contribution. And the second question, what have you learned so far from our studies in the book of Philippians in general and this particular side in particular? We're teaching that together. Yeah, let me pick up the hands. Yes, one. Let me just pick up the hands generally so that I can call you out once. And we can. Two. I've seen two people, two hands. Are there others? Three? Four. I think that I just need one more sister. If you're a brother and you raise your hand, I may not call you. No. If you're a brother and you raise your hand, I may still call you. But I don't think it's only brothers who are learning. I think we have to be gender sensitive. That's a new language I'm learning now. Gender sensitive. I say, what does it mean? You have to include women. Whatever you're doing. I say, hey. Even when they are not qualified. Yes. Okay. Alright, so we are moving. Okay, so can I see the hands again? I have seen the three brothers. Yes. Yes, I'll check you. Let me have the five of you. Please come forward. And there are five seats near my elder. You cannot be there. Please come forward so I can take you. So let me start with Reverend Charles. And then, remember, you may answer any of the ones. You can answer any of the ones you like. Or you can answer both, like our brother Pastor Obin Nadid. Yes, please.
Praise the Lord. I think we come to a point where we become selfless in what we do. And if you watch the life of Epaphroditus, he was selfless in what he was doing. He wasn't doing it because he was persuaded or because he wanted to get a reward from it. He was doing it because he wanted to do it. He wanted to serve. When we have the mind to serve, for example, if we come to a church like this, Amazing Love Assembly, and we decide to be in a particular group. When we are in that group and we are doing, if there's an announcement and we volunteer to help do it, for example, the dynamic missionaries, visioners, the announcement that I've heard most of the time is that you have to wait to arrange the seats, or to move the seats, or to clean the windows. I believe that there are many of them that are doing it, and are doing it happily. I'm using this example because they are young people and they have the strength to do that. But I also believe that there are many of them who have never been there.
You are right. I can confirm that.
Because they don't want to do it. And the notice that those people that are doing it don't even want anybody to notice them. But they want to be there to do it. Again, if we, as adults, for example, I travel a lot because of the nature of my work. If I go out and come back, I've always wanted, in fact, before we come, I've always looked forward to seeing Amazing Love Assembly family. And so when I see anybody, I feel happy. And it's so exciting for me, because the love that I see in the person's eye is indescribable. And that shows that the person wants to see me, and I want to see that person. But there are many occasions where you notice that you travel and nobody notices that you have traveled. I'm sorry to say that maybe you're not noticed, or that you're sick. I won't mention them, but when I came back, I asked of somebody, I didn't see that person on Sunday. I heard the person was sick. We started making arrangement to go and see that person, because there's no way you come to the church and you don't notice that person. So the person we planned to go with to see that person didn't know the actual place. Unfortunately for me, on Monday the person showed up. And I had to go to the person and say, I've been trying to get to your house. And I think the thing is that, as the bishop has said, when we do something not expecting reward, that is selfless. That's when we are doing service. But when we are doing it and expecting reward from it, when we fail to get that reward, we are knocked out completely. A prophet did his own selflessly. Even when he was sick, he continued to do his job. I think the lesson I learned from there is that whatever I do, I should make sure that I'm doing it selflessly, not to gain something, but to be able to give. I don't know who said this, but he says, let us think of what we can give to Amazing Love and not what Amazing Love can give to us. Thank you.
Thank you for turning the words of the President of the United States to favor Amazing Love, and we appreciate that. Amen. It is true, there must be a commitment to selflessly, and seek out, we're asking, how can we be like this person? You know, sometimes you may walk and unnoticed. It doesn't change your attitude. And they may even notice those who are just eye service people. But you doing the job, nobody will notice. If it is unto the Lord, God is sure that you will never miss your reward, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for this study. I want to contribute in line with what others have said. I believe that Epaphroditus is a man that understands internal values. You know, he's somebody that understood that spiritual things matter so much. Because just as we've been learning, I know that there is nobody that would live the life he lived selflessly, just as others have explained, without the person understanding that whatever he's doing has an internal value. And because of that, the man was ready to put in all his life into it. We thank God for him in Jesus' name. I also want to say that Epaphroditus understands who Paul is. He understands his mission. If I will say it this way, he understands the mystery of what he's saying. He understands the work of Christ. He understands the in-depth of what Paul is saying. So he is ready even to die with him in prison. Because of that, he was able to identify with him. He was able to suffer with him. He was able to give in his life. He understood what the church is. And he gave his life and gave everything. You cannot give your whole self to something that you don't have a deep conviction about. You may fake it. But when you face the troubles that will come with it, you find out that you back out. The conviction that you have about the church, the word of God, and the mission of the church will lead you into bringing out your whole self. Praise the Lord.
Amen. A brother is saying essentially, and the reason if we want to be like Epaphroditus is to really believe, like we have mentioned again in a Bible study, believe in God. Believe in, do you really believe that? Actually, it's lack of belief. People don't believe what they are doing. They really don't think it matters. For if they truly did, there will be a difference. Some people come to church because their parents want them to come to church. Other people come to church so that they are coming to church, they can encourage their children or their wives or somebody. But if you come for yourself and you truly know what you are doing, there will be a difference. Sister Ijoma.
Praise the Lord. I want to first of all thank Daddy for giving me this opportunity, though I'm not qualified to answer those questions, but I want to talk about, you know, what I learned, and is out of experience. And like our brother said, out of, you know, doing things selflessly. I remembered one time like that when I did something here in the church. It doesn't mean that every other person didn't say it, but it was because I really believed in myself and my spirit man that actually he has been directing me to do that. And I did it, and I was rewarded by God. And why I'm saying this is that what I learned is I want every other person to believe in your spirit man that you want to do this, not because you want people to know you want to do this as in eye service, you know, or you want maybe people to say you're doing this, you're doing that, but doing it without a reward, doing it without wanting people to know you're doing this. And I want to plead with God that He should give me the heart of evaporate so I can be like Him. Praise the Lord.
The life of see it, look at it on the board and call it. Huh? Epaphroditus.
Epaphroditus.
You can go and sit down my daughter. I wonder why you think you are not qualified. Nobody is qualified in God's house. The only merit we have to stand before God is the blood of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Any other thing is sinking sand. And we come to Him. He said, if I were to mark iniquity, none will stand. He didn't say, some will not stand. None. So no matter how anybody says to you, thinks about you, when you remember that scripture, you will know that even this one who is talking is standing by grace. And the only reason you make it is by grace. If the Lord were to mark iniquity, none will stand. None. Not even your accusers. So they are insignificant. Get close to God and never condemn yourself. Yes, Brother Mandani.
Praise the Lord. I want to talk about what I learned from the entire book of Philippians as our study has been going on. I make reference to what my sister Chimka, said in chapter 1. He was talking about Christ loving us in spite of who we are, knowing fully well that we are not good, and He came and died so that we can be made who He wants us to be. Then in chapter 2, Paul was talking about being like Christ, who in spite of being being God, took a form of man. He came and died, even the most gruesome death. So as I look at that, I saw humility. Actually, it was not, it's lacking. Let me not use the word was. It's lacking in my life because I hold on to one good thing I think I have instead of looking around to see how I can better it. And Paul, when he was making this reference, was looking at him, seeing Christ as a target, as a model, somebody he can look up to. And he introduced another person, Timothy. He said, Timothy, care naturally. He said he has a natural care. So I actually, at times I fake my own care. It doesn't sink in deep. And he said he has no one like-minded. When he has seen the humility of Christ, maybe he saw the same kind of humility in the life of Timothy. That's why he said he has no one like-minded like Timothy. And then before he came to Epaphroditus, actually, these are four great people, three great people, and then Paul was making reference to the master whom the three of them are aspiring so hard to live a life that will please him, and then that will resemble his life in any little way they have succeeded. I believe they succeeded in doing that. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So just walking in humility is one way that can help us to be a brother or a sister in love. Not for filthy lucre, not for what advantage you may gain. Not loving only those whom you think can give you something when the going is tough. Not greeting auntie and uncle, those whom you think are worthy. And even those who are older than those aunties you are greeting, you don't even greet them, you scorn them. Because by their dressing and attitude, they cannot even give you pocket money. No, that's not what we are talking about. True love, sincerely. And then a partner at work, a comrade in fight, a tender friend of the apostle, a good ambassador of the church he was representing. And then, of course, he spoke also about what our sister Chimka had pointed out, that this man was, there was discernment, as our sister Chimka pointed out, discernment, knowledge, discernment in love, being able to bring in that about. And also the last thing that you mentioned, I just forgotten, what was sorry? Timothy having a character that was, these people, all of them operated naturally. They didn't go out to give an air. They were doing their normal life. And this is what the Bible said. This is what Paul said of them. What is your own testimony? Quite frankly, if you ask me anything, you sit back and ask yourself, what is my own testimony? Like I say, some of you are asking me, and I'm glad to tell you what I have. But ultimately, what is God saying about you? What is your testimony? If some of the things you are holding to now is removed, will you still serve the Lord? Will you still be where you are? If things were changed, will you still be faithful? If you were living away outside Transekulu, not living where you are, not living in Abakpa, will you still be seen in church? If you were living like some people who come from Owani, Independence Layout, GRA, Okunano, and who come in, will we still see you regularly? Is Uchonye so here? Baruche? All right? If you live where he was staying, coming from where Sister Obama is coming from, almost the other ends of Ogun, will you still see you? You live in Transekulu. You see, we measure faithfulness. You probably live around within Transekulu at trekking distance. You're always late to church. You live within Abakpa GRA. You're always late. You never come on time. You can never be faithful in anything you're doing. You claim one thing or the other. That's why I say, let's check ourselves. Whom are you serving? Me or the Lord? And before we can come up building this testimony, we need to ask ourselves certain questions. How serious am I committed to the Lord? There's nothing more I want to share. We've taken all the testimonies we can afford to take. Let us pray. The purpose of study is not to add to your notes. The purpose of study is to change lives. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, these things were written. All scripture is inspired of God for correction, for righteousness, for teaching, that the man of God may be equipped in every good work. It's not to make your notes look larger. No. It is to make our lives more complete. Peradventure, there may be somebody here, you haven't given your life to Christ. There's nothing you can do for your life to be like that of Epaphroditus. The first thing you need to do is to be born again. You can be going about with born again people, but you are not born again. You may have changed your denomination. You are no longer wearing chaplet. You are no longer wearing amulet on your hand. You are no longer wearing the other one on your neck. But you are now gotten a cross. So you are now born again. That doesn't make you born again. Or you were not wearing a cross. Now you have got a chaplet. That means you are born again. No, that doesn't make you born again. Maybe you have changed the fetishes you are using. You have transformed them from one unto another. You have burnt all the idols in your house. You have burnt any other thing you have. And you have acquired a new idol. Holy water, holy salt, holy book, holy that. That doesn't make you a Christian. You've merely changed and transferred demons from one fetish to another. To be born again is to give your life to Jesus Christ. God loves you. He loves you. God loves you. I know that. And He wants to give you a very satisfying life. You can have it. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. I can tell you that, because it does matter where God wants to lead you to. Father in heaven, we really thank you for this day. And while that is still going on, Father, we thank you for whom you are. Pray inside your heart. Ask God, Epaphroditus, what a man. How can my life really be such a challenge? Not for people, but so that when God will be writing the history, God will say, well, there was this child here. There was this man. As you looked at the life of Epaphroditus and the diligent way that he served, maybe you are saying to yourself, when can I really be committed to the Lord and the things of God? Inside your heart is a yearning. You want to be committed. You want to really serve selflessly. Man, if you say, Erika, you have so many excess luggage, if you could take a seat. Do you know what? There's a man in the Bible that Jesus told to come follow him. He said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you, but first, let me go bury my father. The problem was that the young man was about 28 years old or about 30, and his father was just about 50, 51, and the man still has another 20 or so years to live. So he's not about to kick the bucket soon. What was he telling Jesus? I will come follow you after 20 years, and I'm sure by then you would have forgotten that you called me. And Jesus told him, no man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is worthy of the gospel. If you really want to serve God, identify those things that have been your problem. Maybe it's people. You like to please people and like to please God. The Bible said that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be saved. In Galatians, the Apostle Paul said, if I still serve men and fear men, then I'm not worthy to be called a servant of the Almighty God. Maybe it is your ambition. You are afraid to throw in your lot. You believe that God cannot take care of you. Listen to what David said. I've been young. Now I am old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging bread. Why not cast your lot with the Lord? He said, cast your cares on him, for he cares. If you truly want to serve Epaphroditus, the brother, it takes only one thing, your decision. If any man wants to do the will of God, the same shall know it. May God depend upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Join us again same time next week on Living Springtime. We invite you to worship with us at the Praise Temple of Amazing Love Assembly, Chonsekou, Enugu, on Sunday by 8:30 a.m., Monday prayer power by 5 p.m., Wednesday Holy Convocation by 12 noon, Wednesday Bible study by 5 p.m., and Friday night vigil by 12 midnight. Remember, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.